Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us on this Confirmation Sunday, taken from John 14 in the sixth verse, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. A novel called The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon tells the story of a 9-year-old girl named Tricia who gets lost while hiking part of the Appalachian Trail. And this work of fiction paints a memorable picture of something many of us can relate to, the feeling of being totally lost. Here's a portion of it. There was going to be a fuss, maybe a big one, involving game wardens and the Forest Service, and it was all her fault. She had left the path. This added a new layer of anxiety to her already disturbed mind, and Tricia began to walk fast, hoping to get back on the main trail before all those calls could be made, before she would turn into what her mother called a public spectacle. She walked faster and faster, waving at the swirling clouds of mosquitoes, no longer bothering to skirt the small clumps of bushes, but simply plowing straight through them. She listened and called and listened, except she wasn't really listening. Not anymore. Her giving way to panic was not sudden, but weirdly gradual, a drawing in from the world, a shutting down of her outward awareness. She walked faster without minding her way, called for help without hearing her own voice, listened with ears that may not have heard a returning shout from behind the nearest tree, and when she began to run, she did it without realizing. That paragraph captures the numbing panic that being lost can create. And I'd have to say that numbing lostness is a pretty good way to describe human beings when we stray from the path that God has set. Most people at least sense that there is a right way to go, a right way to live. And when we wander off that path, certain things begin to happen. When I disregard God and His Word and live by my own rules, I have stopped listening to the only one who knows the right way to go. Are you on God's path? Or are you still blazing your own trail, getting more isolated all the time? What is the way forward? That question was bothering Jesus' disciples in today's gospel reading together. For the Passover supper, they knew there was growing opposition to Jesus, their mentor. It was becoming more and more difficult to be one of his followers, and now Jesus starts talking about leaving them. What's going on there? He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going." The disciple Thomas found no comfort in those words at all. They seemed to raise more questions than they answered. So he spoke up and he said, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" Valid question. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." How can you know the way? How can you find direction in life? The words that Jesus said to Thomas are also directed to you and to me. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Now, those words may not have been immediately helpful to the disciples gathered at that Passover table. And they might not seem immediately helpful to you either. What I mean is, you might be looking more for a map with explicit directions, or a spiritual GPS that tells you turn left here, turn right, but instead of a device that plots out every move for you, you have something much better. You have a guide who personally goes with you, someone who knows the way so much. He is the way. Jesus is the way. In other words, your destiny is tied to a person. Your route is tied up in your living Lord, not a to-do list. Or think of it this way: Jesus does not show you how to find the right way. He takes you there. He paid for your sins on the cross. He passed from that agony into resurrected glory. Your life is bound to his. You are tied to everything Jesus is. So as he takes you his way, your life is going to look more and more like his. Practical question. How did this happen? How did you get bound and tied and connected to Jesus? And this is an especially important question for Michael as he makes his confirmation today, but it applies to everyone here. How did you get connected, bound, tied to Jesus? The answer is baptism. Baptism happened. And one of the reasons I'm so eager to talk about baptism today is the fact that over a decade ago now, I baptized Michael. We believe, as Scripture teaches, that baptism is an adoption. God commits to you in baptism. He brings you into the family, and here's the thing, he treats you with the same love with which he loves his own son. To make one's confirmation, as Michael is doing today, is simply to say yes to all of this. It is to return the embrace of God. It's to live as a person beloved of God, because Jesus is beloved of God, and you are united to Jesus by baptism and faith. And there's consequences for this, of course. If you are united with Jesus, really, truly, his compassion will be mirrored in you. His faithfulness will be mirrored in you. His passion for the truth will be mirrored in you. His servant mentality will be mirrored in you, and other people will see it. They will. Do people see Jesus mirrored in you? I'm not saying perfectly, but in some way, are others seeing the goodness of Jesus, the holiness, the kindness, the servant heart of Jesus in what you do and how you do it? Jesus is the way to live. And there's another sense in which Jesus is the way. He is the way to your ultimate home. Remember, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. As you walk in the way of Jesus, that place Jesus was talking about is now your destination. You could say it this way. The whole point of Jesus stooping down to our level, preaching, healing, suffering, dying, rising, ascending, and ruling is so that one day you will take your place in the heavenly house of God. That's it. This is why. This is the journey that Michael is on. It's the journey that you're on, too. Jesus is the way, and he will see you home. Would you pray with me, please? Holy Father, with your Son and Holy Spirit, you have bound us to yourself through baptism. You've committed to us. Everything that's true of Jesus is true of us. This is a gift that we cannot begin to fully estimate the importance of, and yet it's true. We give you our thanks that Michael has been baptized, that he's grown up to learn who you are, that today he stands before us and says yes to you, returning your embrace. Let us also make use of this moment in time to renew our own yes, to return that embrace which you have given to us. Not only that, but to meet you at your table and receive from you more gifts of forgiveness and life. Help us as a community of believers to walk with Michael now, to support him and uphold him, to let him know that he's not alone in this faith, that we share the gifts of God with him and welcome him as he grows in you. All this we pray in the holy name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.